1 Timothy 4:12. We'll read down to the end of the chapter. Each one of these verses, I believe, have some good instruction that I think applies to the subject matter at hand. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 12, "Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy, with the laying on of the hands of the presbytery. Meditate upon these things, give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. Take heed unto thyself and unto thy doctrine, continue in them, for in doing this thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I would ask that you would please in a very special way, Lord, meet with us tonight. And we're very grateful for these young people, Lord, that are seated up here planning to go on to Bible college. Lord, some for the first time, some returning students. Others, Lord, that could not be here tonight, but there are kids. And in the next week or two, they'll re-enroll and continue their education. And I want to pray for each of them, Lord. I'm asking, Lord, that as we study these Bible principles tonight, that we'll understand, Lord, that there is a wide variety of great application. Lord, I think all of us can glean some good things tonight. I pray that you'd help us to. And Lord, we would ask your blessing on the message. Please help this preacher in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. I think we've got the list completed, so I'll tell you what we have here. It seems like every time me and my wife try to put our heads together and get a complete list, one of us would forget somebody. Of course, it wasn't your child we were forgetting. But honestly, I was, just to be honest with you, a little surprised. Let me say this, folks. We're blessed here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. If I've still got somebody back there, if I can have you turn the mic up, turn the volume up. I'm going to need more volume, okay? That better? Good. All right. We are blessed here. We have, and we are going to include her in the count because the two shall be one, but we're going to count them as two. But since Chad got married, his wife Rachel, they'll both be enrolled in Bible college for one more semester. So if you include those two with all of the other kids that are going, we have 13 young people that will be in Bible college this fall. I'm astounded by that, to be honest with you. I just am. That's a humbling thing. I don't mean this in any wrong way except to just say we need to understand how blessed we are. I can tell you that there's churches three or four times this size that wouldn't have 13 kids in Bible college. I understand that some of these kids go for a year and they may after a year decide to come home, and that's fine, and they'll have a good experience and be able to be blessed and helped. I understand some of these kids will go on and finish, and some of them may return to this area. Some along the pathway will discover the will of God, and maybe the will of God will take them from us. But what's important now for each and every one of them is not for us to sit around trying to predict the future, but to just be glad for where they're at right now in their lives and try to be an encouragement to each and every one of them. Let me go down through the list of the young people that will be going to Bible college. And like I said, there's some that couldn't be here tonight. I understand why, and we'll mention them in a minute. But Heather Wilfong is seated up here, and Heather is going back this year to Shawnee Baptist College in Louisville, Kentucky. And this is Heather's second year. Is that right? If I get anything wrong, y'all just correct me, okay? The second one is Christina Altizer. Christina's going to Providence Baptist College up in Elgin, Illinois this year. And then we have Mara Bennett. Mara is going to Shawnee Baptist College in Louisville, Kentucky. My daughter Tabitha Ross is going to Golden State Baptist College in Santa Clara, California, I think. We're not sure yet if we're going to let her. Rachel Gordon is going back to Commonwealth Baptist College, Louisville, Kentucky, your third year. This is the beginning of your third year. And then Lindsay Klein, West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California, your third year. Is that right? And then Kelsey Hall is going to Shawnee Baptist College in Louisville, Kentucky, and this will be her second year of Bible college. Keith Casper is going to Providence Baptist College in Elgin, Illinois. And I'm very proud of you, Keith. You did it. You did it, brother. You took the step. Amen. God bless you. Amen. I told him, sooner or later, if you're going to college, you're going to have to depart with that, brother. So, amen. Matthew Harrison is seated on the second row because he did not achieve the first estate. And no, I think because it's just too crowded. But Matthew Harrison is going back to Commonwealth Baptist College in Lexington, Kentucky. Justin Daffern is not here tonight. He is working down, and he did all summer long. We have a kind of a running joke. It seems like that whenever he comes back for service, I'm gone. And so I've been joking. I said, it's because I know that you're coming. I find out when you're coming, and I just make sure I'm not here. I don't want to see you. Well, I got this text when I'm laying in the hospital on the Sunday I missed, and Justin texted me in the hospital and said, Pastor Jerry, the extremes that you will go to not have to see me when I come home for a weekend. But Justin is going back to Shawnee Baptist College for his, I don't know, second, third, fourth, fifth year. I'm not sure where he's at, really. Nobody really knows, amen? And so when he gets done, he'll let us know. And then Chad, of course, just married Rachel. This is going to be very confusing when they move back to this area. I am, of course, my first name is Jerry. Cheryl's brother's Jerry. So I married into a family where they had somebody named the same first name, but at least we had different last names. That helped a little bit. Cheryl's mom and dad calls me Cheryl's Jerry, and they call their Jerry our Jerry. So I'm not their Jerry, I'm Cheryl's Jerry. And since I know her and know them, I'd just as soon be Cheryl's Jerry, then there's Jerry. But Chad and Rachel are enrolling as married students. Both of them will be going this semester. Both of them will be finishing up this semester and then moving back to this area in December. And then Caleb Hall has gone out with Paul to Rhode Island for a couple weeks. Then he's going to be returning. And I don't think this will change. His plans is to attend Golden State Baptist College. He's going to transfer to Golden State Baptist College in Santa Clara, California for his last year of college. And so that's 13. That's amazing. Isn't God good? And I appreciate the young people. I told Brother Reiser up here, I said, you know, one of the things I've got to say about the last really several classes of young people we have is in this area of at least being tender and open to the Lord's leading in this direction. We've had a group of young people that have done that. And I want to talk to them a little bit because this is a huge thing, especially for the young people that are going off for the first time. Those of you that are returning, you know what? It's not as mysterious as it was a year ago or 2 years ago. You have some reference point now. You have a certain amount of experience. But at the same time, I want you to listen very carefully to what I have to say. Now, I want to give these five Bible principles to you tonight, and we won't take a long time on any of them. But I got to thinking about these five Bible principles. I would like every single student that's coming into Blessed Hope Baptist School to listen to everything I have to say. I could take these same principles and use this to preach a message to our young people that'll be coming back to school this coming Tuesday here at this school. I think that there are some things that you ought to just on purpose decide to do and decide to be before you go into a Christian school or a Christian college. You just make up your mind on some things. You take some good advice. These five things, if I could get some high schoolers, are you high schoolers listening to me? If I get you high schoolers to just decide on these five things, it could change your life and change your entire year. I'm not just saying that for effect. It could absolutely transform your entire year of high school, whatever high school year you're facing. And so pay very close attention. And then I got to thinking, my goodness sakes, I don't care. These principles, honestly, are life principles. I don't think that there's probably anybody that cannot draw application. So let's get into them tonight. I'm going to present five pieces of advice for our college students, but please, folks, be open to whatever the Lord would speak to your heart about. We have in these verses, we have verse 12, 13, 14, 15, 16. I'm going to draw a Bible principle out of each of these, And I want to give you some good advice. This is not advice from someone who's never been to Bible college. This is advice from someone who probably will have gone to twice as much Bible college as you will have gone to when you're finished. This is not advice from somebody who did everything right. This is advice from somebody who learned from his mistakes. This is good wisdom to hand down to a group of awfully good young people. So listen very carefully to what I'm going to say. Verse number 12 says this, "Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity." Now the first piece of advice I could give you is when you arrive on campus, or high schoolers, when you walk in the door this Tuesday, decide from day one you're going to present your testimony. Present your testimony. Now just decide on purpose, predetermine on purpose, that you are going to forecast and broadcast to everyone on that campus, this is the type of a young person that I am. Go with the intent of being an example of a believer. I mean, what I would like, and I have this opportunity, and I've actually had this said to me, and boy, you talk about make a heart of a preacher glad. But I've literally talked to college presidents, college vice presidents, college teachers who said, "Brother Jerry, if you could send us 100 more like in their name, we'd love to have them. They are exactly what we would hope for in a Bible college student." Now, you know what that is? That kind of testimony is only achieved when you go and you've predetermined that in these key areas of life, in verse number 12, and these areas are not unfamiliar to you because you've been taught these areas by your preacher. You've been taught during your youth experience. You've been taught in a Christian school the importance of this list. I'm going to review it quickly. But you decide that you're not going to be a run-of-the-mill Bible college student. You're not going to be a lukewarm Bible college student. You're not going to be a Bible college student that somebody's always going to keep an eye on and wonder if they're going to break another rule today. You're going to be the kind of Bible college student that if somebody walked on campus and said, "Let me meet somebody that you would just want every college student to be," I hope they would go find a Blessed Hope Baptist Church school kid. And the only way that you're going to achieve that is to decide in advance that there are certain things that you are going to protect, certain things you're going to guard, certain areas you're not going to compromise on. Now think about these things, because I don't have time to teach them, of course, but there's six listed in this verse. The Bible says, "Let no man despise thy youth." The word despise there means to count of low value or no value. "But be thou an example of the believers." In these areas, in word, you ought to be an example of what a Christian young person ought to be. In conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity, you ought to be spotless in your testimony in those areas. Now let me just, under this, go through this six quickly and just show you how you can present the right kind of testimony from day one. Word, conversation, charity, spirit, faith, purity. Number one, guard your words. Guard your words. You know what? When you go to Bible college, you know what you're going to do? You're going to listen to other people. And you're going to hear what they say. And you're going to judge them based on what comes out of their mouth. And by the way, you have Bible permission to do that. But guess what? Everyone else is going to be doing that to you. You need to guard your words. You need to decide from day one, I'm going to walk in there and I'm going to speak very carefully. I'm going to speak very cautiously. I'm going to speak very wisely. I'm going to think about what I say, because you know what? One loose comment, one unguarded word, and you know what? It can damage your testimony. I don't have time to do it, but folks, we could go to the book of James, and the book of James would warn us that the most dangerous member in our body is our tongue. And so you have to guard it. You have to control it. You have to bridle it. You have to surrender it to the control of the Holy Spirit of God. But just go in. Listen, don't go in flapping your gums. Don't go in shooting your mouth off. You know what? You ought to go in and you ought to carefully gauge your words. Carefully gauge your comments. Because you are going to establish and present a certain testimony by what you say or what you don't say. Number two, govern your behavior. Govern your behavior. It says to be an example of a believer in word and in conversation. Conversation just means in how you behave, in how you live. You're going to go to Bible college and you're going to meet somebody and you're going to listen to what they say. And in a couple of days of that, you're going to put them in a category. You're going to watch how they behave. And you know what? In a certain day, they're going to put you in. But by the way, the faculty will do that with you. The teachers are going to do that with you. The pastor's going to do that with you. You say, well, Brother Jerry, what if I behave or I say differently than what I am? Let me say this, folks. In the long run, you won't. What you are is going to come out in your words, and what you are is going to come out in your behavior. And so what you need to do is to take this matter of your testimony very seriously. I want you young ladies and young men to think about something. It's not just teachers. It's just not faculty. It's just not roommates. There are young men that have gone there to study for the ministry, and you know one of the things that they are going to look for is a helpmeet. Young men, there are serious-minded Christian young ladies that want to serve God with their life, and you know what? They've gone there because they believe that God probably is there. You know what? You can be a goofball, and you can be immature in your speaking, and you can cause yourself to be taken out of consideration and miss God's will. Listen, don't worry about trying to impress a bunch of goofballs or be a goofball. Hey, it's not junior high. It's not high school. It's college. Go and act like it's college. Most seniors, by the time they get there, you seniors will relate to this. Most juniors and seniors, by the time they hit that time in high school, they are, how can I put this nice? They are tired of the immaturity of junior high and high school. Most of our seniors, bless their heart, I appreciate them. And I really do. But you know what? It doesn't bother me that a senior is more forward thinking than behind thinking. And they're already mentally, they're there, they're putting their time in, they're finishing off. But honestly, they're ready to go on to the next thing. Now, what I say to our seniors is this. You know what? And this is what we say in the youth group. I always say the same thing. So when you're in 7th, 8th, and 9th grade, you need your youth group. When you're in 10th, 11th, and 12th grade, your youth group needs you. And seniors, I can't have you just checking out and saying, well, I don't want to have... Listen, you need to take this year, and you need to be a good influence. And by the way, if you're so mature, then help mentor some maturity in some other students. But the honest truth is, it's... You know, I think most of the young people there, you know what? They're kind of looking forward to going to Bible college and being with young adults, being with an older set. But you know what you're going to see when you get there? You've got this thing in your mind like you're going to go there and everyone's going to be, you know. And you know what you're going to find out? I'm going to tell you what they're going to find out. And it's kind of sad. And by the way, I'm not against having fun. I'm not against you guys going out. And you're going to have crazy times and fun times, and that's part of it, part of where you're at. But it's amazing as I visit, and maybe I'm just getting to be an old man, but as I visit Bible college students, I'm amazed at some of the foolish immaturity, junior high mentality that still rules and reigns in the bodies of 19 and 20-year-olds. Now, I'm going to tell you something. You're going to find that that's more the norm than the exception. Be the exception. I'm not saying you can't have a good time. I'm not saying there isn't a time to let your hair down and have some fun. I'm just saying present your testimony. You know what? Just decide you're going to be a cut above. Just decide that you're going to be a little more sober, a little more focused, a little more serious than the average kid there, the average freshman there. Okay? Guard your words, govern your behavior. I'm going to give you this, guide your love. Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believer in word and conversation and charity. Now, I'm going to say this, guide your love, but what I'd really like you to do is have the Holy Spirit of God guide your love. See, here's the thing. People, again, are going to look at you. They're going to listen to your words. They're going to see, watch your behavior, and then they're going to see where you place your love. And based on that, they're going to make some decisions about you. I did this real quickly this week, and I didn't do it in depth, and I might have missed something. I mean, I really took about 15 minutes and tried to do this. But I punched in the word love in my computer, my Bible program, and I hit print, and everywhere in the New Testament only, I just had love printed out. And then I went verse by verse pretty quickly. I didn't go to the context of everyone, so because of that, I probably missed some things. But a thought struck me. You know, there are things that the Bible commands us and tells us to love, and there are things the Bible commands us not to love. So real quickly, I thought, I'm going to put them on a paper, and I'm going to put a line in the middle of the paper and put yes, no. And everything where the Bible says God commands us to love something, I'm going to put that under the yes column. And everything under that he tells us not to love, I'm going to put under the no column. And you know what? Your maturity, or whether or not you are an example of the believer, is going to be gauged and determined a lot by what you love and where people see you put your love. And here's what I came up with. Under the yes column, I found out four things. We're to love God, we're to love the Word of God, we're to love truth, and we are to love the brethren. And then I could add this. It went ahead and said we ought to love even our enemies. So actually five things. Love God, love His Word, love truth, love the brethren, and love even your enemies. Now, a mature Christian, that's where they guide their love. They guide their love on purpose towards God. They guide their love towards His Word. They love truth. You're going to real quickly look around during chapel, and you're going to find, by just looking, you're going to see the kids that, you know what? They don't love truth. They're going to sit there like they're in junior high and goof around during a college chapel service. They're going to go to Bible class. You know what? They don't love truth. They're sitting there drawing pictures or texting or seeing what they can get by with and get away with. Well, you know what? They're going to be watching you too. And you know what? What they ought to see is that your love is guided in a specific direction. You have a love for God. You have a love for His Word. You have love for truth. You love the brethren. You love one another as God commanded us to do. And even those that mistreat you, you know what? You don't get down into this silliness, this immaturity. You just say, you know what? God bless them. I love them anyway. And I'm just going to pray for them. And you know what? Have a nice day and go on with your life. Funny, over in the no column, this is what you find. Love not the world, so the world. Lovers of self, last day sin. Love themselves. Watch this. Love the salutations and the uttermost seats. Want to be popular. Want to be seen. Want everybody to... Want to have everybody's attention. Then you see mammon and money. Mammon and money. The love of money is the root of all evil. You don't love God and mammon. And then love to be seen of men. So as you go to Bible college, you're going to notice that there are kids there that by listening to them, watching them, and see where they guide their love, you know where their love is. They love the world. They love themselves. They love popularity. They love money. And they love to be seen of men. Then you're going to notice there's a group of students that love the Lord and love His Word and love truth and love other Christians and even love their enemies. Now, you're going to have enough discernment probably, hopefully, to divide who those people are. By the way, the one that's in love with all the wrong things, don't get in love with them. You fall in love with somebody who's got their love guided in a good direction. Okay? But what I'm saying is, you need to also not just set in judgment of what everybody else is doing. You need to see where your love is and guide your love into the right places. Let me give you number four. I'm going to try to get through these. Gauge your spirit. Gauge your spirit. Now, it says that also you will be judged as a youth. In your youth, you're going to be judged whether or not you're an example of a believer by your spirit. Now, here's just some great advice. Well, I want to give this to our high school. I want to give it to everybody. I want to give it to every church member. You know what? We ought to have the right spirit. The right. You know what? Anybody in the world can have a stinking attitude. That takes absolutely no talent, no Christianity, no depth, nothing. Just decide that you're going to go to Bible college and you're going to have the right spirit. I'll tell you right now, there's going to be a lot of things don't go right. I'm going to tell you right now, not everything is going to seem fair. I'm just going to tell you right now that, you know what? Not everybody's going to treat you every day like they ought to treat you. But you keep the right spirit. Because you see, I talked about the faculty, I talked about your roommates, I talked about other people, I talked about potential mates, but I'm going to tell you the most important person that's watching you during these years is God. Because you know what? He wants to see whether or not you are willing to become the kind of young person that he can entrust with something important. So dare to be that type of a person. Listen, smile when you don't feel like smiling. Be more concerned about somebody else than you are yourself. Even if there's something you don't understand, just say, you know what, it doesn't matter, girls, the honest truth is. It doesn't matter, guys, the honest truth is. It's the rule, and you know what, if it's the rule, let's just do it with a good spirit, whether we understand it or not. Don't be a grumbler. Don't be a whiner. Don't be a complainer. Don't be a critic. They're a dime a dozen. Decide that your spirit is going to reflect the Holy Spirit of God and the fruits of the Spirit of Almighty God. And then grow your faith. Grow your faith. Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believer in word and conversation and charity and spirit and faith. Grow your faith. Let me tell you what my 8 years in Bible college, 7 years of Bible college, I was there eight, but 7 years enrolled. Let me tell you what 7 years of Bible college taught me, especially the six that I spent in the dormitories. 6 years in the dormitories is going to shock you, but I promise you it's true. Most of the young people on your dorm floor will not have morning devotions. You mean in a Bible college? In a Bible college. Now you're going to show up and you know what? Maybe no other roommate has the discipline to do it. Are you just going to become what they are? Or are you going to say, you know what? I don't care if nobody else on the dorm floor does it. I'm going to get up and read my Bible in the morning. Brother Jerry, in a Bible college? I'm not saying nobody does. I'm saying the majority of them don't. They've never, even through 18 years of their lives, gotten the morning discipline of just getting up and reading their Bible. Just getting up and having a prayer time. You know what? So what? I'm going to tell you something. If you'll do right, you know what you're going to see? That your positive influence begins to change people around you. Now you can, you know, this is the old message we preached. You can be a thermostat or you can be a thermometer. You can either go to whatever the temperature of the spiritual level of your room is or your dorm floor is, or you can set it high and you can help draw other people up to it. But your faith, listen, ought to not just be strong going in. Your faith ought to grow throughout the year. Now, this is what I'm saying. We are sending you to Bible college. Mom and Dad's helping to pay for you to go to Bible college. This church is going to send you money every month to go to Bible college. It would be a travesty in 9 months for you to come back here and be less spiritually than you are now, for your faith to be weaker than it is right now. And I've said this, and isn't it true, that Bible college can be one of the easiest places in the world to backslide if you're not careful. Because pretty soon you can just say, well, I hear preaching and I go to Bible class and I've got all this stuff, and you just want to try to live on the spirituality of the people around you, but that never works. It never works. There is never a substitute. There's not a substitute for your own personal daily walk with God. And so grow in your faith. Let the chapel, listen, you will never go to another time in your life where you will have more concentration of preaching and Bible teaching than you are during your Bible college years. There's no other time in your life that you'll have that opportunity. Don't waste it. Every message, every lesson, every sermon, every chapel service, every Bible class, boy, just go in there and say, Holy Spirit, teach me again, teach me again, teach me again. Just be like a big sponge and soak it up. And if you'll do that, then that is what God says is required for those who want to be the example of a believer. Let me give you the last one here in this first point. Amen. Number six, galvanize your purity. Guard your words, govern your behavior, guide your love, gauge your spirit, grow your faith, galvanize your purity. You know what that means? That means just reinforce it, just determine it, just protect it. galvanize your purity. Now, young people, listen to me. One of the best ways in the world to keep you right is for me to tell you this. You obey the rules. I don't care where you go to Bible college. I don't care what the rules are. You obey them. Anybody in that college that wants to try to talk you into skirting rules, disobeying rules, ignoring rules, you stay away from them. Brother Jerry, I don't understand all of them. You don't have to understand all of them. You obey all of them. You do right. Young people that are going for the first time, let me tell you this. There's going to be young people that feel you out in the first couple of weeks to find out whether or not you are a possible target because they're a predator. I mean, send the message loud and clear. First time the wrong kind of conversation happens in your dorm room, stand up and say, girls, let me tell you something. I wouldn't talk this way at home. I wouldn't talk this way in my church. And I'm not going to talk this way in this dorm room. When you guys are done, let me know. You just send a clear message. First time the wrong kind of a young man comes up and wants to start saying some things that are borderline, you set him straight. You say, this is the first and last time I will talk to you. You need to stay away from me, or I'm going to go talk to somebody. And then go talk to somebody anyway. Young men, they're going to figure you out. They're going to find out whether or not you are going to be one of these kids that want to sneak around the rules, whether or not your moral compass is set in the right direction or not. They're going to figure it out. Because I don't care where you go in America or where you go to any Bible college in the world, and there's some snakes. And so just galvanize your purity. So in verse number 12, the first thing I would present to you is that you ought to show up and from day one and present a strong Christian testimony. And by the way, I don't care what they say about it. I don't care what the comments are. You decide you're going to peer-proof yourself in this area. I am going to be what I ought to be. I'm going to have the kind of testimony I ought to have. And you know what? I'm not going to bend to anybody's pressure, especially the pressure of somebody that's immature or carnal. I'm not going to let that influence me, okay? Number one, present your testimony. Number two, verse number 13, this will take no time at all because I know you all already intend to do it. Till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Study your lessons. Study your lessons. Here's a neat thought. Do you know why you're going to Bible college? Woohoo! Some of you are saying, man, I could enjoy this thing if it wasn't for the classes. That's kind of the idea. We're going to give you something at the end of the service that I hope be a help. And there's a lot of different things, ideas that we had, thought of something we could give you. But one of the things that came to my mind, it would be probably one of the greatest practical helps to you. We did buy each a nice set of pens because you're going to need them. But also, I bought every one of you a weekly, monthly planner. And let me just say this. From day one, freshmen, are you listening to me? From day one, when you go to that class for the very first time, you take good notes because they're going to present to you your semester's assignments. And you know what? It's not going to be like high school. They're not going to come remind you. They're not going to say, hey, have you got this done? It's only 10 days from now. You know what they're going to do? They're going to tell you what they expect, when they expect it. And then you know what? You're going to walk in one day and they're going to say, turn in your, and you're going to look around and say, turn in what? Turn in what? Turn in what? Unless you have it written down. Now write down from day one. You write down everything that's assigned long term, when it's assigned, the date it's due, and then you go ahead every 30 days in front of it, 30, 60, and 90 days in front of it, write yourself reminders, especially if they're big, long-term assignments. You're going to have outside reading to do. You're going to have term papers to do. It's going to be work. If you decide to wait to the last week and you're going to get it all done the last week before finals, no, you won't. Okay? And so study your lessons. Be a good student. Make the best grades you can possibly make. And you know what? If you do poorly in a class, let it not be from lack of trying or lack of organization. Work as hard as you can and do the very best you can in your classes. Verse 14, let me give you number 3. says, neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy with the laying on of the hands of the presbytery. It says, neglect not the gift that is in thee. Let me give you this. Number three, develop your gifts. Develop your gifts. Brother, I don't even know what mine are. It's a great place to find out. Develop your gifts. By now, you ought to take some time to discover and to pray and to ask God to show you the areas where He has gifted you. And every one of you have gifts. And every gift that is from God that He's given to you is a treasure. And the verse says here, don't neglect it. Develop it. And so whatever that gift is, and sometimes we think of gifts, we think of a particular talent. Well, sometimes it's not a talent as far as a talent for computers or a talent for an instrument. Or, you know, sometimes it is just the ability to work with certain groups of people. Because people's what it's all about anyway. Some of you are gifted in working with children. Some of you are gifted in working with teenagers. Some of you are gifted in working with senior saints. And a lot of times the only way you're going to discover those gifts is to try and plug into a variety of different situations. And I'm going to tell you right now, there's some areas of ministry that are just going to feel right. It's like even though you don't know everything that you need to know about it, it just fits. So when you understand who you are and what God gifted you to be, don't neglect that. Develop that. And God will then use that in the future for you to plug in specific service. Let me give you number four. Number four, verse number 15, meditate upon these things, give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. Now, let me just say this before I give you the point. Young people, right up here is where most of the battle is going to be fought. You're going to fight from time homesickness. You're going to fight discouragement. You're going to fight different things. But if you will practice the biblical art of meditation, learning to meditate on the Word of God, learning to keep your mind focused on the right things, and that's the point. Maintain a positive focus. It says, give thyself wholly to them. Meditate upon these things. Give thyself wholly to them. Listen, don't get caught up in the nonsense. Don't get caught up in the petty. Don't worry about, you know, what she said about her and what he said about this. And don't worry about that nonsense. You discover the area God's gifted you. You meditate on the things that you ought to meditate on, and you give yourself wholly to them. I'm going to give you a little formula, and I wish everybody in here would write it down, and I wish everybody in here would practice it. But I've seen this when I walked in my freshman year of Bible college, and I think no doubt I've heard it before then. But I think because I saw it written down on a sign, it meant something to me, and I hope I do this right. It said this, the sign said this in one of the classrooms. It says, weak minds talk about people. Or think about people and talk about people. Average minds think and talk about things. Great minds think and talk about ideas. Weak minds talk about people. Average minds talk about things. Great minds talk about ideas. I wish I could challenge everybody in this room to examine that. We spend too much time talking about petty nonsense. Too much time talking about people and gossiping about people. Or talking about things. I got this. You get this. What you got that? I got this. Did you get this? I got this. Well, congratulations. Or as I like to say sometimes, congratulations. I mean, big stinking deal. I mean, good deal. You're going to spend this entire week, you spent all last week, and all you did was think and talk about people and think and talk about things. Man, you're a deep person. I got an idea. Buy a book. Read it. You know why I get excited about reading? Because there are principles. There are ideas. I love to talk about philosophy. I love to talk about biblical philosophy. I like to talk about things that matter. I run out of energy real quick talking about, I'm sorry, but it's called small talk for a reason. Not against it. I think it's a nice way to open a conversation, but just to sit here and talk about stupid just doesn't appeal to me much. Sorry. Just doesn't. I mean, tell me something. Somebody come up sometime and just say, Preacher, I got to share something with you that I read in the Bible this week. Man, I was listening to a sermon and I got to give you this thought. Or I was reading a book and you know what Charles Finney said about this? I mean, where is that in Christianity today? No, it's, did you see what she text so-and-so? These are deep things. Deep things. And so do you never talk about people? Of course not. You never talk about things? Of course not. But if that is your entire life, your entire focus, then you need to discover the art of capturing and placing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Because young people, if you get wrong up here, you're going to get wrong down here. So you live above the petty. And you decide that no matter what's going on, you're going to concentrate and stay focused on things that are important in life. Let me give you the last one. We have encouraged you, number one, to present your testimony. Number two, study your lessons. Number three, develop your gifts. Number four, maintain a positive focus. Number five, guard yourself and guard your beliefs. Guard yourself and guard your beliefs. Verse 16. Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine, and unto the doctrine, continue in them. Notice this. For in doing this, thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. You know why you need to guard yourself and guard your belief system, even in a Bible college? Because if you don't and you get off track, it's just not you that'll suffer. It's everybody you could have ever reached and everybody you could have ever influenced will suffer. So you guard yourself and you guard your belief system. I want to say this to our college students. I want you to stay open to the teachings. I want you to stay open, but I'm going to tell you something. You do not come from a church where there needs to be an overhaul of your belief system. If you land in a place and you figure out pretty soon that for you to buy into everything that's being taught, you're going to have to trade in everything you've learned for 18 years, you call me. I'll get with your parents because we need to get you out of there. I've not been a student in all of the different Bible colleges where our kids attend. But you shouldn't come back in 9 months throwing away standards, throwing away convictions, throwing away modesty. You shouldn't come back questioning the King James Bible. You shouldn't come back saying soul winning's not a big deal. You shouldn't come back thinking bus ministry is a waste of time. And if you're sitting in a class and these red flags keep coming up, and you go to the next class and these red flags keep coming up, and you're like, wait a minute. This isn't what I've heard for 18 years. Now, I'm all for somebody building on the foundation that's been laid. But I'm going to tell you something. We've laid the kind of foundation I don't want anybody taking a jackhammer to. And if they do, you call me and we can arrange a transfer and we can get you into the kind of college that you ought to be in. And I mean that with my whole heart. I don't understand this. And I wish there's some young people in the past that needed to hear this and needed to obey this. But if you come back from Bible college after a semester and you think your parents are idiots, I don't know where we sent you, but we sent you to the wrong place. Okay? And so guard yourself. Guard who you are. Guard where God has brought you. Guard your doctrine and protect it.
Yes, sir.
And protect it. And be very careful about that. Now, let me just say this. I've given you some strong advice, some serious advice. I want you to take it to heart. I also want you to go to Bible college, and I want you to have a great time. I want you to be involved in every good, positive thing you can be involved in. I don't want you to try to be 47. I want you to be whatever you are. But be a godly whatever you are. I want you to learn. I want you to make friends. I want you to begin relationships. I want you to get everything from every teacher you can get from them. I want you to love the Lord and serve Him and stay straight and come back a year from now and have us see you walk in the door and say, you know what? This has been a good thing for them. Okay? This has been a good thing for them. So stay on track. I'm going to have our young people this time that are going to Bible college come up here and stand. We want to present you with a gift. What I already mentioned is what you're getting. We're going to give you something that I want you to use. This is something that I want you to keep up on. It's very important that you live by schedule. It's very important if you're going to succeed that you write things down, that you plan each week, that you live in an organized fashion. Remember, God is not the author of confusion. Let all things be done decently in order. Schedule your time. Figure out how much time you're going to have to study and make sure you're studying. How much you're going to work and make sure you're working. Then, after that, there's always going to be something fun to do or somebody you want to spend some time with, and that's great. But that's not priority one. Stay on schedule. Be successful. I'm going to tell you right now, you're going to make mistakes. Anybody want to testify who's already been to Bible college? You're going to still make mistakes. Sometimes you're going to get out of balance. Sometimes you're going to get the cart before the horse. Sometimes you're going to not do very well in a class when you look back and say, you know what, I really could have done better had I better organized my time. It's a learning time. It's a learning experience. And so we want very much for you to enjoy it. Let me get this. I might have a couple of you girls kind of come over. I want you to spread across the front. I'd like the parents to come and stand with your young people tonight. So I want to not only, come on, you come right now. Parents, come on up and stand beside your young people. We want to have a word of prayer with them. And we're proud of them. Amen. Man, these are good kids. They're good kids. We want God's best for them for another year. Pray especially for our first-timers. I want you to pray for all of them. Because the honest truth is, in some ways, every year, in some ways it gets easier, and every year, in some ways, it gets more difficult. I will promise you that that's true. You may know more what's going on after a year, but that doesn't mean that the attacks of Satan diminish. I think they increase the closer you get to the finish line. And so I want to take a few minutes and I want to just pray with our students here and have a special time of prayer with them. Let's all stand to our feet. And I'd like to have Brother Reiser, would you come up here? And Pastor Ross, would you come? And let's see, Brother Gerald, why don't you come on up too? I'm going to have all three of you men take some time and pray with each of the students. I want you to do it individually, if you would. Pray with them, pray with their parents. Just go down the line and pick a student and pray with them. And we're just going to spend a little time doing this. A few folks, matter of fact, let me just go ahead and have you be seated. This could take a little bit of time, but we want to do some individual prayer with each of them. And then at the end, we'll gather around together and we'll have one last time of dedicated prayer. So let's take some time and do that, okay? If you want to stand with me. We're going to have a special word of prayer for our students. And I know as a church family, you're going to want to have an opportunity to come up and tell them that you love them and that you're praying for them. So take a little bit of time. If you have to slip it, I understand. But you know, take a little time. We anticipate great things from this group of young people. And I'm excited. I mean this. With all of the crazy things going on in the world and all of the negative direction we see our nation go, this is what gives us hope. This is what gives us hope. Amen. Yes, sir. Oh, we're going to baptize. All right. Let me pray for these young people. Has Jeff already gone back there? No? That's all right. Send him that direction. We'll get him lined out, okay? Let's have a word of prayer at this time. Heavenly Father, I want to thank you, Lord, for each of the young people here, Lord. And God, I want to go ahead and say a word of prayer, Lord, for the students that I'm not able to pray with physically right now. I pray for Caleb, Lord. And Lord, I pray, dear God, this last year of college as he finishes up, Lord, will be the best year that he's had. I pray, Lord, that you'll work out the details. I pray, Lord, that you will, in a special, miraculous way, just do some final things in his life to prepare him for whatever your will is. I pray as he finishes, God, that you won't let him miss the will of God or be misdirected. But Lord, that he would keep his eyes stayed on you and that you would guide him with your eye. Then Lord, I want to pray also for Chad and his wife Rachel, Lord. And Lord, they're going to need your help and special graces. Here they are, a newlywed couple, and Lord, just into marriage, and then they're going to be thrust into a very busy time of life, classes and work and all of the things that must be done. But Lord, I pray that you'd, Lord, just take good care of them, and may even the difficulties of this draw them closer together. And Lord, again, just everything and anything that you need to teach them this semester, Lord, please, please do that. Lord, we don't want this to be a wasted semester, but one that's very profitable in their lives, Lord. I pray for Justin, Lord, tonight, Lord, and I love him. We have such a good time, Lord. It's just always a joy when he calls or I get a call and talk to him. And Lord, I have been so blessed. Brother Moon sought me out here just a while back and wanted to touch base with me and tell me what a good young man he was and what a hard worker and what a good job he was doing. And Lord, that did this preacher's heart so much good. I want to thank you, Lord, and continue to direct his life, Lord. All of our young people, Lord, I pray for Matthew and Keith and Kelsey, Lindsay, Rachel, Tabitha, Mara, Christine, and Heather, Lord. We want to ask your special blessing, protection, Lord, as they go from this place. Lord, in the next few weeks, we'll see them, one or two here, one or two here, but they're going to filter out of here in the next two or three weeks. Lord, just help them to know that there's a church back home that stands behind them. Help them to know how loved they are. And Lord, during times of discouragement, I pray, God, that they'd understand we're counting on them. Help them to hang in there. Help them to tough it out. Help them to stay when it's hard to stay and go forward when you'd rather quit. And I pray that, Lord, you'd protect them. May they show up from day one. And by everything they do and everything they say, make a very clear announcement. I'm here because I love God, and I'm here because I want to serve him. Lord, I pray, dear God, that you'd use them. Lord, everyone's a different life. Everyone, you have a different plan. That's good. That's fine. Whatever it is, Lord, I pray that you'd not let Satan interfere with any of it. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.